Chapter 2
Miranda, I thought we could meet. Your gifts? I can't tell you.
17 drafts. 17 false starts. Andy made it a sentence or two into each one and gave up. She almost called Miranda 3 separate times over the next 2 days. Actually, almost hit the send button. Stopped herself each time. It had been Miranda all this time, and Andy couldn't handle it. Couldn't even pull herself together long enough to compose a coherent email to ask why. What could Miranda possibly be expecting? What could her motivation be for sending Andy literally thousands of dollars of designer gifts without so much as a signature? She couldn't focus on any of her work. On Sunday, the day after her birthday, Trixie asked her about the birthday box. Andy snapped, "I don't want to talk about it," and stomped into her room. And immediately felt guilty, because none of this was Trixie's fault. Her phone buzzed with a text. Maybe it got delayed, Trixie had sent, apparently assuming the box hadn't arrived at all. Andy sent back, "Yeah, maybe," and threw her phone on the floor. Andy was fully aware that what she was about to do was completely insane. She was operating at about 4% of her rational decision-making capacity, and she also did not care one single tiny bit. She didn't care one single tiny bit because the fact that Miranda had been sending her anonymous, expensive birthday presents was also completely insane, so she figured that turnabout was fair play. She rented a zip car, which she'd never done before, and probably wouldn't do again. It smelled like stale French fries and body odor. Put Miranda's townhouse address into Google Maps, and started driving. Insane. But she was doing it anyway. She felt wired, adrenaline charged, as though her frontal lobe had totally disconnected from the rest of her brain. She listened to Enya to try and calm down. It didn't work. The second assistant usually delivered the book to Miranda's house at around 9. Google Maps estimated her arrival time at 8:37 p.m. She got there at 8:36. She circled the block. Should she ring the doorbell before the second assistant? No, that was a bad idea. She didn't want this, whatever this was, to be interrupted by the dry cleaning. She parked a block away, so she could see Miranda's front door, and waited. There was a light on at the second floor, and another at the fourth. Andy knew that the second floor was the office. The memory of Miranda's scandalized expression still made her cringe with mortification, even 8 years later, but she had no idea what was above that. Miranda's bedroom? It was possible Miranda wasn't even home yet. Half the time she'd been out with advertisers or Irv or some celebrity when Andy delivered the book. Her thoughts raced. She chewed her thumbnail and tried to breathe. 8:50? 8:55? At 9:05... A familiar silver car pulled up to the curb. A dark-haired girl stepped out, clutching the book to her chest with one hand and hefting a garment bag of dry cleaning with the other. She stumbled a little, going up the townhouse stairs. Andy's sympathy flinched. The girl unlocked the door and disappeared inside. Andy held her breath. If Miranda wasn't home, she would be back out in 90 seconds or less. Even if she was home, she might be out in 90 seconds or less. Andy could count on the fingers of one hand the number of times Miranda had spoken to her during the book delivery. Andy found herself counting the seconds. At 55, the front door opened again, and the girl hurried back down the stairs into the waiting car. Andy exhaled in a whoosh, turned the car back on. She would wait a little longer before she left, because she was extremely nervous, but it was abundantly clear that Miranda probably, most likely, most definitely wasn't home. Maybe tomorrow. The second floor light went out. Andy's stomach lurched. She turned the car off again. Then she wound the green scarf around her throat, opened the door, and stepped out. It was too cold for the Burberry Trench, and Andy hadn't wanted to risk walking in melting slush in the Louboutin, so she'd worn the gloves with her jeans and overcoat. She had briefly considered the dress, but there were limits to her insanity. Even without any heels, the walk to Miranda's front steps took an eternity. By the time she got there, she was shaking. She put a foot on the first step. Mistake. This was a mistake. And yet her feet kept moving. She'd worn a ballerina neck black top with the scarf, but she found herself wishing she'd worn the turtleneck. She felt exposed, even with her coat on, as she climbed toward the door. She stood before it, one hand poised at the doorbell, thought of the unfinished emails and the 3 aborted phone calls. She pressed the button. For a moment, she thought the door wouldn't open, thought that Miranda would simply ignore the sound of the doorbell. It seemed like something she would do. And then she heard the metallic slide of a chain lock, of the deadbolt clanking open, and the click of the latch. The door opened. Andy's first thought was that Miranda looked exactly as she remembered. Her immediate second thought was that Miranda looked absolutely fucking gorgeous.
"Andrea,"
she said, and were it not for the little catch in her voice, the slight flush in her cheeks, Andy would have thought Miranda was utterly unsurprised to see her.
"Come in."
Feeling dazed, Andy stepped into the foyer and closed the door behind her, pulled off the gloves and stuffed them into her coat pockets.
"I think," Miranda said quietly, not quite meeting Andy's gaze, "that this conversation warrants a glass of wine, don't you?"
Andy swallowed hard.
"Yeah, okay."
She followed Miranda to the kitchen, slid onto a bar stool and watched Miranda's movements, removing wine glasses from a hanging rack and setting them onto the counter, reaching for a bottle of red. The flex of her wrists as she maneuvered a corkscrew that looked like it had been developed by NASA. Everyday motions made extraordinary by the performer.
"It should air for a few minutes,"
Miranda said as she poured. A third full, Cabernet in a Bordeaux glass, precisely the way it was meant to be served. She slid the glass across the counter to Andy and poured one for herself, then moved toward Andy and sat down on the barstool beside her. Andy could barely look at her. She focused, instead, on the bracelets on Miranda's left wrist, on the sleeves that had been pushed up to her elbows. Her nails were pink, flawlessly manicured.
"The scarf looks lovely," Miranda said.
Andy's face burned.
"You knew it would."
"Yes." Miranda's hand on the counter moved, incrementally, toward Andy.
"You're still wearing your coat."
Andy looked down.
"Oh."
She unzipped it, pulled it off. The cool air helped. She draped it over the stool on her other side. There was a long silence, then,
"You're uncomfortable."
Andy's eyes snapped up to Miranda's.
"No,"
she said quickly. The expression on Miranda's face was so jarringly unfamiliar that Andy almost couldn't form a follow-up sentence. She was gazing right at Andy, a little crease between her eyebrows, her lips parted. She looked open, somehow, as though Andy's presence in her kitchen had cracked open the glossy runway exterior and revealed beneath a woman with very human needs.
"What I mean is," Andy said, fumbling, "no, I'm not uncomfortable, but I mean, Miranda, they were so expensive."
One eyebrow arched, the facade falling back into place.
"Be assured that nothing I purchased caused me significant financial strain."
"Ugh." The corners of Miranda's mouth were tight with displeasure.
"Okay,"
Andy said, taking a deep breath to try to reset. Miranda didn't want to talk about the money. Fine.
"Then let me just say, it was very generous of you, Miranda. Thank you."
But that didn't seem to help either. Miranda looked away.
"My motivation was not," she paused, "generosity, Andrea."
Andy toyed with the stem of her wine glass. The question was on the tip of her tongue. One word that she was finding nearly impossible to say.
"Then,"
she clenched her jaw and forced it out,
"why?"
Miranda drew a breath in and let it out very slowly. She took a sip of her wine, then another. Andy sat very still, even though she felt like she was going to crawl right out of her skin.
"Aesthetics,"
Miranda said at last, and Andy almost fell off her stool.
"Miranda!" she growled.
Miranda sighed and propped her forehead in one hand.
No, she said. I suppose not.
And I didn't come here to say thank you, Andy said, sharper than she intended.
Another sigh.
Miranda slid her hand down to cover her eyes.
I found myself, she said at last, in a position that...
She broke off.
You made things exceptionally difficult for me, Andrea.
Andy frowned. I didn't come here to say sorry either.
Nor should you,
Miranda said, face still mostly hidden.
The fault was mine.
I don't know what we're talking about, Andy said, even though she thought she kind of did.
The impact you made, and your departure.
Andy cringed.
I take it back. I am sorry about that.
It was for the best. Miranda lifted her head and turned to look at Andy. She looked tired.
The truth is, Andrea, I felt something before you left, and after.
Andy's stomach did a cartwheel.
I know, she said.
Miranda's eyebrows went up. For a moment, she seemed more startled than vulnerable.
You do?
I mean... Andy tucked at the end of the scarf, letting her gaze drift around the kitchen.
I thought I did. Not at a time. A while after. And I think it didn't take me all that long to figure out the D's were from you.
I suppose, Miranda said, letting her hands fall to encircle the base of her wine glass.
That it was a way for me to alleviate, she paused. Express, perhaps, things I felt unable to, or unequipped, to say.
The sheer candor of Miranda's words was kind of blowing Andy's mind, and she hadn't even begun to process their meaning. The words were out before she could stop them.
So say them now.
Miranda paled. She stared at Andy.
Andrea.
You made me wonder. Every day for 8 years, Miranda. Do you realize how absolutely nuts that is? Andy pushed her wine away and leaned toward Miranda. That inhibitionless, adrenaline-drunk feeling was back, so much so that she reached out and put a hand on Miranda's knee. Miranda started, looked down at Andy's hand on her knee, and then back up at Andy.
You want to talk about feelings?
Andy added, emboldened by the fact that Miranda didn't run screaming from the room.
I can tell you something about feelings.
We barely know each other, Miranda said.
And yet you mailed me lingerie a week ago,
Andy fired back. Miranda's face turned bright red. She jerked her knee away.
Miranda,
Andy said. She put her hand, now, on Miranda's shoulder, pulled a little, so Miranda had to face her. She let her tone gentle.
What did you think was going to happen?
For a moment, it seemed as though the cause was lost. Miranda's expression was totally closed off, her lips a thin white line.
Miranda, Andy said again, pleading now. Come on.
The tension in Miranda's body abruptly released. She let out a breath.
I honestly don't know, she said at last.
Andy squeezed Miranda's shoulder and let go.
Well, she said, that's a start.
End of chapter 2.